Branch and Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorns had a feed on the lorry gentry. I'm back in the saddle again.
From Columbus, Ohio, for your friendly local merchant everywhere who sells and displays healthful, refreshing, delicious double mint chewing gum, invites you to another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. Among those present are Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, Merle Travis, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Orchestra, and Johnny Bond. First, though, let's meet the boss man himself, Mr. American Cowboy, Gene Autry.
Gold, eyes are blue, lips like cherry wine. The prettiest gal ever knew, and I'm going to make her mine. I came down from Butte, Montana, for a little change of scene. And I stopped today in Santa Fe, where I met a pretty queen. Oh, I planned to leave on Monday, but she held me kind of tight. So I held the ground and hung around, and I left on Friday night. Marigold, eyes are blue, looks like cherry wine. Prettiest gal I ever knew, and I'm going to make her mine. I was kind of blue and lonely, so I took my horse and pack. And on Sunday morning was up and gone, heading south and riding back. At the gate I found her waiting, I was happy as could be. Then I told her that I loved her true, and she said that she loved me. Marigold, eyes are blue, looks like cherry wine. Prettiest gal I ever knew, and I'm going to make her mine.
Well, thank you, friends and neighbors, and welcome to Melody Ranch. I'm just about to help myself to some delicious, refreshing double mint chewing gum. And you know, it's swell to have a treat that's so pure and wholesome that you can enjoy it any time you think of it. So, suppose you join me in chewing some grand double mint gum right now. And always carry a package of double mint with you so you can have some whenever you want. That's delicious, refreshing, double mint chewing gum. I like it.
Hi, Mr. Artery. Hi there. Boy, am I ever excited. My chance has come, and you're the first to hear the news.
Oh, boy.
Now, wait a minute, Pat Buttram. Settle down.
Huh?
What news? What are you excited about?
Look at this newspaper here. The Sagebrush Dramatic Appreciation and Bail Bond Society is putting on a play.
Yes?
A real melodrama, and they're advertising for a leading man. They're looking for a new face, and I've got it.
Well, don't just stand there. Run home and get it.
Yeah. Very good. Run home and get it, yeah.
Now, look, Patrick. I didn't think that you'd laugh at my joke.
Oh, what was good enough for President McKinley is good enough for me. I
Is that so? Well, now, don't get smart with me, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Artery. It's just that I feel so excited.
Uh-huh.
You see, I called up the Sagebrush Theater, and they said to come right down. So I went, and they give me the part to study. And here I am, almost a big star.
But, Patrick, you don't know anything about acting. Why, it isn't easy, you know.
Oh, acting comes natural to me, Mr. Artery. My uncle, Grease Paint Buttram, he was a famous actor. He played nothing but big parts.
I never even heard of him.
Oh, he was...
What big parts did he ever play?
Are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. Well, you know them fake horses?
Yes.
You know, two fellas get inside of it, and
yes,
they do funny stuff?
Mm-hmm.
My uncle played the biggest part.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He played the part that couldn't see where it was going.
Well, it sounds like it was made to order for you.
Oh, no, no. I don't take a back seat for nobody, no. But I'm going to be a real big star, a Gary Cooper type, or a Allen type of a lad, or even a Rock type of a Hudson, maybe.
Well, you've got the build for it, all right.
Oh, Mr. Artery, you know something about acting now. Won't you sort of help me with the script a little?
All right, Patrick, I'll do what I can.
Good.
Well, let's just see how good a man you are when it comes to this acting.
I can do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Say, this first scene is for a boy and a girl.
Well, now, that's a nice combination, I think. Now, what's the scene? Oh, boy, just watch old Buttram emote here.
Well, let's see here. Now, it says, uh-huh, as the scene opens, the boy and girl are drifting lazily down a romantic stream in a canoe.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the bow, and he's in the stern.
Well, can't you put us both in the middle and give me a fighting chance?
Now, look, Pat, get serious, or I'm not going to help you.
Oh, I'll be serious.
Now she looks at you with fire in her beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah.
And her luscious red lips seem to say, I'm yours, darling. Now, you know what to do?
Sure, I throw away the paddle and head for the girl. That's it.
No, you don't throw away the paddle.
Why not? I can buy a new paddle for $1.50 anyway.
You're supposed to be playing hard to get.
Oh.
Now, pay attention, will you? Fine actor, you are.
Well, let's get back to the girl. Time's a-wasting.
Now, wait just a minute. Take it easy. Oh. Don't rush him like old Scoggins does.
All right.
Now, you see, first you turn on the radio to get some nice, soft music.
Turn on the radio?
Yeah.
What for?
To put you in a romantic mood.
Mr. Artery, I was in the mood before radios was even invented. I gotta go study up on my part by myself. So long, Mr. Artery. You're not helping me a bit.
Well, so long, Patrick. Yes, sir, that guy's got more comebacks than a bad check. However, right now, let's listen to those saddle-scarred Cass County boys in Get Along, Little Dodies.
As I was out walking one morning for pleasure, I spied a cowpuncher all riding alone. His hat was rolled back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he approached he was singing this song. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogie, it's your misfortune and not of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogie, you know that Wyoming will be your new home. It's early in spring that we round up the dogies. We mark 'em and brand 'em and bob off each tail. We round up the horses and load the chuck wagon and then put the dogies out on the right trail. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogie, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogie, you know that my own and will be your new home. My home and will be your new home.
Thank you there, Cass County boys. You've just given the folks a lift with that song. And friends, I'll remind you of the pleasant lift you get when you chew delicious, refreshing Double Mint chewing gum. That's why it makes real good sense to chew swell Double Mint anytime things start going wrong. You see, a healthful, wholesome treat like Double Mint can really work wonders when those little irritations begin to get in your throat or on your nerves. Because the easy, long-lasting chewing gives you a healthy, natural outlet for that feeling of pressure and tension. Yet, you just stick your teeth right into smooth Double Mint and chew away for a while. And you feel a lot more relaxed and satisfied. And that cool, clean Double Mint flavor freshens you. And that makes you feel better, too. So enjoy it often, every day. It'll do you good. Delicious, refreshing Double Mint chewing gum.
Lonely river, in the moonlight, winding through my song. Weary waters, keep on flowing, lonely river, roll along. Tell my love I'm broken hearted, I know I was wrong. Weary waters keep on flowing, lonely river roll along. Tell her I'm waiting alone by the shore. Just say I'm pining to see her once more. Winding through my song.
weary waters. Calm flowing, lonely river roll along. Tell her I'm waiting alone by the shore. Just say I'm pining to see her once more. Lonely river in the moonlight, winding through my song. Weary waters keep on flowing, lonely river roll along.
Thank you, friends.
Yes, sir, thank you.
You know, I can't get over how smart Champ is.
Oh, Champ's a smart horse, all right.
Why, this morning when I went out to feed him, he opened the stable door for me and hung my head on the wall.
Oh, that's nothing. Did I ever tell you about the time he picked up a curry comb and got the burrs out of my whiskers?
Now, wait a minute, boys, wait a minute.
Huh?
You don't have to exaggerate when you talk about Champ. Why don't we just tell the truth about him?
Oh, like the time he saved our lives, maybe, huh? Up Redstone Canyon 3 or 4 years ago, remember?
Well, yeah, that's more like it.
Well, nobody's stopping you, Mr. Ardrey. Go right ahead and tell it, and don't leave nothing out.
Just for that, Patrick, I will. Well, Pat and I were riding in the foothills of Mission Range, looking for strays, when all of a sudden, Champ stopped cold in his track, reared up, and reached for the sky. Steady, Champ. Steady, boy. Easy.
What's the matter with him, Mr. Ardrey?
Oh, I don't know, Pat. Seems like he... Hey, look.
Huh?
Leaning against that rock.
Jumping tadpoles. Man looks like he's been shot.
Yeah. Come on, quick.
Yeah.
Oh. Easy, fella. Yeah. Easy. Here, try some of this water.
Gracias. Ringo.
What? Say that again.
Ringo.
Is he dead?
Yeah, Pat. I'm afraid he is. All we can do is...
Hey, look out! Pat, hit the dirt.
Yeah.
Why, that low-down, dry, gulching hoot owl.
Yeah, there he goes over the hill.
Oh, just let me get a bead on that side.
Oh, there. Forget it for now, Pat. Let's take care of this man. We'll never catch him anyway.
Well, what are we going to do, Mr. Arthur?
Get this man into sagebrush. Sheriff Dillon can take it from there. Well, we brought him in as soon as we could, Jim.
Well, thanks, Gene. All right, Jed. Take the body over to Doc Peters' office.
Is there anything I can do to help, Sheriff?
No need for a lawyer, Mr. Ransom. Not yet, anyhow.
Did you identify this man?
Well, the card we found in his pocket says Pedro Chavez. What I want to know is the name of the killer.
How about that, Mr. Autry? Did he tell you?
No, Mr. Ransom, he didn't.
Well, call on me anytime, Sheriff.
If we need you. Now, the rest of you folks move along. Come on now, get out.
Jim, there is something I haven't told you yet.
Oh, what's that, Gene?
Pedro Chavez did say something before he died. Just one word. Ringo.
Ringo? Hmm.
Does that mean anything to you? Somebody's name?
No, nobody around here. I remember an old mine called the Ringo up Redstone Canyon 3-4 miles. Ain't been worked in years, though.
I think Pat and I'll take a look up there, if you don't mind.
Suit yourself, Gene. But you're on your own.
I know that, Jim. I remember that. So, this is the Ringo Mine.
Mr. Ardrey, do we have to go any further? Old ghost mines give me goosebumps.
It won't hurt to take a little look. Let's try this side tunnel, Pat.
Hey, wait. Huh? Hey. What's that?
Back to the entrance, quick.
Huh? Oh. Somebody chopped them timbers down to trap us, Mr. Ardrey.
Well, there's a tiny opening. If we can move this beam. Come on, help me.
Here we go.
We can't budge it. They left us here to die.
Well, there's one good chance of getting out alive.
Yeah? What?
Champ. Let's hope he's still out there. Champ! Champ! Can you hear me, boy?
Hey, that's him. That's him.
Listen, Champ. Go home. Understand, boy? Go home.
He's going, Mr. Artery. He understood just what you said.
Let's hope so, Pat. Let's hope so. Well, Champ understood all right. A couple of hours later, the boys followed Champ's trail. Pretty soon, we were breathing fresh air again. Just on a hunch, Pat and I got some samples of dirt from the mine, and late that afternoon, we took them into the county assayer's office.
Gene, if you're looking for silver, copper, or gold in this dirt, there's not a single trace.
What did you find out about the Ringo mine, Frank?
Well, it seems a claim was made out early in 1936. To a man named Pedro Chavez.
Holy smoke! That's the man we found shot to death.
That's right, Pat.
But I don't get it. He files a claim, then he deserts it, and then he comes back again and gets killed. Why?
I think there's a way to find out, if the sheriff will go along with my plan. Frank, do us a favor. Don't tell anybody we've been here.
Anything you say, Gene.
But why not?
Pat, somebody still thinks that we're trapped in that mine. Now it's our chance to trap him.
Sheriff, I still don't understand why you called me down here at this time of the morning.
You offered to help yesterday, didn't you, Mr. Ransom, when Gene brought that dead man in?
Yes, of course I did, as an attorney.
Now, sit down. You'll be helping any minute now.
Well, what are we waiting for? Now, look, Sheriff, I'm a very busy man. I can't...
Good morning, Gene. Pat, come on in.
Good morning, Sheriff.
Sorry we couldn't make it sooner, Jim.
Well, Autry, how did you... I mean...
What's the matter, Mr. Ransom? Didn't you ever see a couple of real live ghosts before?
Ghosts? I don't know what you mean.
I think you do, Mr. Ransom. Jim, take a look at this.
What is it?
A deed to the old Ringo mine, made out to Pedro Chavez. Mr. Ransom took it from Pedro's body yesterday.
That's a lie.
Then how come Pat and I found it in your office along with some uranium ore samples?
Why, you had no right to go into my office.
Shut up and let Gene tell it.
And, Mr. Ransom, you better listen.
Well, Pedro Chavez discovered uranium several years ago at the Ringo mine. He wasn't an American citizen, and he was afraid the government wouldn't let him keep it. Finally, just a few days ago, he decided to consult an attorney. That attorney happened to be you, Mr. Ransom, and you decided to get the mine for yourself.
Why, you're crazy. Autry, are you accusing me of murder?
Yes, and I should have known it from the start. When you asked me if Pedro told us who the killer was. Only Pat and I knew he wasn't already dead when we found him.
No wonder you tried to kill us, too.
Well, it looks like you just put a noose around your neck, Ransom.
All right, but I'm taking at least one man with me.
Oh, hey, look out. All right. Two can play that game, too, mister.
Now, try chopping down mine timbers with that arm, Bo Diddley.
Don't pester him, Pat. I think Mr. Ransom has enough to worry about already. Friends and neighbors, I know you've all seen pictures of abandoned ranch houses where the windows are out, doors are hanging on one hinge, old barns leaning so far south you'd think a north wind would blow them over. And there always seems to be the remnants of a broken down, dusty old wagon. And that just happens to be the subject of our cowboy classic for today. The wheel of the wagon is broken. It ain't gonna turn no more. My days on the prairie are over. Round the old ranch door. There ain't any campfire smoking. Where we sang when day was through. The wheel of the wagon is broken. Gone is the wet side. Goodbye, old faithful.
My days on the prairie are over. Round the old ranch door, the wheel of the wagon is broken. It ain't gonna turn no more.
Goodbye, old faithful. There's a sign on the ranch for sale. Goodbye, old faithful.
Looks like the end of the trail. My days on the prairie are over. There's weeds round the old ranch door. The wheel of the wagon is broken. It ain't gonna turn no more.
Ain't gonna turn no more.
You know, Mr. Audrey, I think I get twice the usual fun out of these Melody Ranch parties. I enjoy them myself, and I get a real kick out of watching other folks enjoy them, too.
Well, Pat, I have a hunch you just spoke for everybody here. And I think I'm speaking for all of you good friends when I say that delicious, refreshing Double Mint chewing gum adds extra pleasure to all the day's activities. The smooth, steady chewing goes right along with work or fun. And that delicious Double Mint flavor is always so good. And it cools your mouth and keeps your taste fresh, too. So enjoy it soon and often. Delicious, refreshing, Double Mint chewing gum. Well, I guess that just about wraps it up for this week's folks. But this is Gene Autry for Double Mint, asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Now, where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentry, I'm back in the saddle again.
Gene Autry will be appearing in person with his big new hit show of 1956 on February 2nd in Rochester, New York, and on successive days in Providence, Portland, and Bangor, Maine, Manchester, Hartford, Connecticut, Kingston, and White Plains, New York, Hershey, and Philadelphia on February 11th and 12th. At the same time next week, and over these same stations, the Wrigley people will again present Gene Autry. Dean Lewis speaking, in part transcribed. This is the CBS Radio Network.
This week, Recording Library of West Texas Radio is ready to take you into the new year. All week at 8 a.m., 3 p.m., and midnight, we'll be airing audio-described movies with settings or themes around New Year's. And this week at 1 p.m., we'll be running old-time radio programs from the 30s, 40s, and 50s that were originally broadcast around New Year's. All this week on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. In place of our regular program, Recording Library of West Texas is proud to present the best from old-time radio. We hope you'll enjoy this holiday episode from the golden age of radio.
It's the Roy Rogers Show.
Happy trails to you. It's nice to meet again. Happy trails to you. Until the journey's end.
Oh, Sugar Crisp, The cereal treat that's fun to eat brings you The Roy Rogers Show, transcribed on the Double R Bar Ranch with Pat Brady and the Queen of the West, Dale Evans.
Happy trails to you. Time to ride again.
And here he is, in person, the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers.
Well, howdy, folks. Here's my good word for today. It's about a honey of a new cereal, Post Sugar Crisp. And it's my hunch you'll like it just as much as we do out here at the Double R Bar Ranch. You see, Post Sugar Crisp is just downright good eating. And it's good so many different ways. Try it real soon, won't you?
And now, here's our story.
Almost midnight in a small western prison. There are footsteps in a corridor. A flashlight pokes its beam into each of the iron-barred cells. The guard finishes his tour of inspection and reports that all prisoners are accounted for. And in the prison yard, a large tarpaulin-covered supply truck moves out as the heavy gates open.
Well, Louis, we spent a couple of months in that confounded prison, but we're out of it now.
Where are we going, Mr. Corky?
We'll take over this truck pretty soon and head for Paradise Valley.
Oh, but someone might recognize us.
I ain't been seen without a full beard for better than 40 years now. And as soon as I can steal a pair of scissors and a razor, my cheeks will be as smooth as the top of your head.
Gosh, what will you look like, Mr. Corky?
Probably look like an old turnip. An old turnip with a southern accent.
Well, why are we going back to Paradise Valley? Why don't we try someplace new?
For one thing, we got a foolproof hideout in Boulder Canyon. For two things, I always wanted to play my fiddle at a New Year's Eve square dance. Mm-hmm. And for three things, I got to get even with that Roy Rogers fella. If it hadn't been for him, you and me had never had to register at that confounded Iron Hotel.
Virginia, real fun.
Sure was. A fella has to be in pretty good shape to get through that dance without being plumb winded.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, Roy. I'm not scarcely winded at all. Just having a little trouble getting my breath.
Yeah.
Hey, Pat, that old fiddle player you dug up is a whiz bang.
He certainly is. Boy, he makes that violin talk.
Yeah. He looks like an old turnip, but he's a mighty fine fiddler.
Say, what's his name, Pat?
It's Floater Lee. He says his ancestors migrated here from Virginia right after the Civil War.
I never heard of a Lee family in the valley.
Well, he says he lives way down at the southern end.
Are you about ready to call a square dance, Roy?
Sure, I'd like to. Time for only about one more before midnight.
Well, come on up then. I'll introduce you to Floater. You know, he was telling me he was mighty anxious to have you call a number so as to get all the folks a dance.
All right, come on, let's go.
Say, aren't you going to ask to be my partner this time, Pat?
Why, sure, Dale. I've been waiting to get rid of Roy so as I could have a chance.
Howdy there, Mr. Brady. You all having a good time?
Yeah, we all sure are. Floater, I want you to meet my friend, Roy Rogers. He'd like to call the next dance.
Why, Mr. Rogers, sir, this is indeed a pleasure.
Well, thank you. We're sure getting a big kick out of your playing.
Mr. Lee, this is Miss Evans.
Oh, it was a pleasure to meet a beautiful lady. They don't raise them any prettier than you in Virginia.
Oh, my goodness, thank you.
Hey, how about Tennessee Wagner, Floater? Do you know that one?
That is, in my opinion, the finest square dance tune ever written. I'll give you my special introduction to it, and away we go.
Come on, Pat. Let's get in right at the very start.
I'm with you, Dale. See you later, Roy.
All right, everybody, grab your partners for an old-time square dance and get out on the floor. We need about two more couple over there on that side. Everybody ready? Let her go, Floater.
Paul, join hands and circle to the south, a little sunshine in your mouth. Look at your hopes to grant you back to the lady in the lead. Swing your part a little bit harden, Al, the man you left in your own backyard. Al, the man you left in, right your part, go right and left and hurry up, boys, and don't be slow and sit your wheel and mix your dough and save a heel and tap your toe. You meet your partner and promenade home. First couple out to the right with a lady around a lady and a gent so low with a lady around a gent and a gent don't go low. Swing them in the center with a two for a whirl and lead them up to you and you're about to left fold. Change the right hand lady with a left hand round. The partner by the right as she comes round with a hickory log and a popper stump with a hole in the floor and everybody jump. Circle balance lead to the next and chase a rabbit, chase that whirl. Chase that pretty girl around the world. Now that possum, now the coon, and now that big boy around that room. We'll swing him in the center with a two-fire whirl and lead him up to and about the left four. Change your right hand, lady, with the left hand round. The partner with the right as she comes round. Way down yonder, up very far off, a jade bird died with a hoop and call. Circle balance, lead to the next with a bird in a cage in the three-wheel pin. Burn hop out in the crow hop in, you circle four. You go on again and change your right hand, lady, with the left hand round. The partner with the right as she comes round. Circle balance, lead to the next, you chase a rabbit, chase that squirrel, chase that pretty girl around the world. Now the possum, now the coon, and now that big boy around that room. I'll swing him in the center with a two-fire whirl, and I need him up a two, and if I could left four. Change your right hand, lady, with the left hand round, the partner with the right as she comes round. Circle balance to your home, and everybody swing. Swing your part a little bit hard, and the element left in your own backyard. And the man you left and right, your partner right and left, and hurry up, boys, and don't be slow. There, chicken in a red pan, picking up dough. You meet your partner and walk slow. You know where, and I don't care. Go park that pretty girl in the chair. That boss, you won't be.
Mr. Rogers, it's a half minute till midnight before the folks leave the floor. Why don't we have them all gather around and sing Auld Lang Syne?
It's a great idea, Folder. The crowd is sure all out here now. Say, folks, it's just a couple of seconds until New Year. Let's all gather around and sing it in, huh?
Good idea.
Well, start us off, fellas.
Yeah, key of F, boys. Here we go.
Should old acquaintance be forgotten and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgotten and never brought to mind?
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New
Year!
Happy New Year!
Well, that's the last dance, Dale. It was certainly a wonderful party.
It certainly was, Roy. The best one ever. I'll run and get my coat while you get your hat and guns out of the men's cloakroom.
Pat's getting mine for me. I'll be saying goodnight to some of the people and meet you right here.
Gee, it's too bad old Mr. Lee had to leave before the last dance.
Yeah, the band didn't sound half as good without him. But he said he had a long trip, and he only stays up past midnight once a year.
He was all kinds of fun. See you in a minute, Roy.
All right.
Hey, Roy?
Yeah?
Some muzzler's playing a joke on us. There ain't a gun holster or a gun left in the cloakroom.
What's that? Well, the deputy was in there all night, wasn't he?
Well, he came out to watch you call a square dance and stayed to sing Auld Lang Syne with all of us.
Well, sir, we started out to have a Happy New Year, and we're going to. As soon as we locate about 40 pairs of 45s.
Meet Roy's little friends, Handy Dandy Candy, the three honey bears you see on the front of every Sugar Crisp package. Hi, what's new?
What's new? Post Sugar Crisp.
Right. Sugar Crisp is the cereal treat that's fun to eat. And our three Sugar Crisp bears can tell you why.
Sure. As a cereal, it's dandy.
For snacks, it's so handy.
Or eat it like candy, right out of the box.
Yes, Sugar Crisp is so good because it's nourishing puffed wheat with a candy-like coating of sugar and honey. And Sugar Crisp is just sweet enough. You don't need sugar. Just add milk or cream and have a feast for breakfast. And Sugar Crisp is ideal for snacks.
quick and easy to fix whenever you're hungry. Or eat it right out of the package like candy. It's good, and it gives you quick food energy. So listen to the three little Sugar Crisp Bears who say,
as a cereal, it's dandy. For snacks, it's so handy. Or eat it like candy. Post Sugar Crisp.
Look for genuine Post Sugar Crisp in the red, white, and blue package with the three bears on front. Buy Sugar Crisp tomorrow.
The Paradise Valley New Year's Eve square dance ends on a sour note when a sneak thief steals all the guns from the cloakroom. It is early the next morning in the Eureka Cafe, and evidently the guns were not all that was stolen.
Of all the rotten, no-account things to do, that fella was the worst thief in the world.
Now, Pat, you'll get Nellie Bell back.
Well, I just hope so. I couldn't get along without her. She's the sweetest little jeep that ever was made.
Why don't you get to work and take your mind off Nellie Bell? Roy'll figure out who stole her.
You know, I don't think we even ought to open up today.
Well, hey, the sheriff just gave me some mighty interesting information.
Has he found Nellie Bell, Roy?
Did he locate the stolen guns?
No, but he gave me a lead, so maybe we can.
Where are we going, Roy?
We're going to look for a fiddler, your friend, Floater Lee.
Floater Lee? That nice old fella? Oh, he wouldn't have stolen the guns or Nellie Bell.
Why, no, he couldn't have stolen the guns, Roy. He was playing right up there in front of everyone every minute while the deputy was out of the cloakroom.
I know, but he could have had an accomplice. It turns out that Floater Lee is a mighty smart man.
Well, I suppose we could look him up. Said he lives way over at the south end of the valley. Well,
we're saddling up and heading to the north end, Pat. We're going to Boulder Canyon.
Boulder Canyon? Well, the last time we were there...
The last time we were there is when you bought a map to a lost gold mine.
Yeah, and it led us into plenty of trouble with that darn old Corky Lewis fella and that great big strong-arm man of his. But I don't see what that's got to do with Floater Lee.
Well, the sheriff told me that Corky Lewis and his friend Louie made a jailbreak about 5 days ago. Now, Corky had a beard when we saw him before, but when you think of it, he and Floater were about the same size.
Hey, that's right. And Corky was a fiddler. In fact, he bragged about how good he was.
Yeah,
Corky, Floater.
I think that special introduction to the square dance last night was a signal that the coast was clear. And I've got a hunch that when we finish singing Auld Lang Syne, the old fiddler and his partner took Nellie Bell and skipped with about $4,000 worth of guns.
You mean we were singing Should Old Acquaintance Be Forgot? And all the time our old acquaintance was old Corky Lewis?
That's just what I think. And our old acquaintance may be gone, but he's certainly not forgot. Now let's saddle up as fast as we can and head for Boulder Canyon.
Roy, I think we should have brought the sheriff and a posse.
Maybe we should at that. Finding anyone in Boulder Canyon is like looking for a pearl button in a snowstorm.
I didn't want the posse. Catching Corky is my own personal project. And somehow I think Corky's personal project is catching me.
You figure Corky's going to show us where he is?
Well, he didn't make any attempt to cover Nellie Bell's tracks driving here to the canyon.
But they disappeared when we hit rock. You know, he'd better not have done anything to Nellie Bell. That's all I've got to say.
What's that?
It's Corky and his fiddle. He's up there in those rocks somewhere.
Hey, look out! Oh, the horse is quick!
Whoa!
Oh,
wow!
It's Corky, all right, and he's got that strong-armed partner of his with him.
Well, he certainly must be strong to be able to shove these big rocks around like that. Say, we'd better find shelter right now.
Move your horses around. We passed an overhang about 25 yards back. It'll be a fine place to leave Dale and horses and boat.
Believe me, what are you talking about?
Well, climbing around these rocks is no job for you, Dale.
Hey, we'd better take Bullet with us, hadn't we, Roy? He's mighty good at tracking.
Yes. Well, here we are. We're triggered. See how that big ledge juts out? Stay on the overhang, Dale, and we'll be perfectly safe from falling rocks.
Fine. And I can see anyone who comes from either direction.
No. Uh-oh. Corky's calling us again, Pat.
Yeah, I just wish I'd hear Nellie Bell calling me.
Say, Dale, take one of my guns as an extra. And if you need us,
fire two shots.
Don't worry about me, Roy. I'll be fine.
Just remember, we're up against a mighty smart customer, and he's got a mighty tough partner. Come on, Pat, Bullet. Let's find that fiddling will-o'-the-wisp.
Help! Help me, ma'am! I'm right over here!
Don't move! I've got you covered.
I couldn't move if I wanted to. Help! Help!
I see you. I thought I recognized that voice.
Why, lady, this is the most welcome surprise I've had since I left the plantation. Well, I remember you from the dance last night. I'm Floater Lee. Sorry I can't say at your service, ma'am.
Come off that Floater Lee stuff. You're Corky Lewis, and we both know it.
Lady, you're so right. Looks like I'm caught up with it last.
What's the matter?
I thought Louis was my best friend. He threw this big boulder at me and pinned me down here and made off with all the guns we stole last night. Oh, please help me, little lady. I'm in terrible pain. I'll confess again to Rogers, to the sheriff, to anyone, any time you say, but please help me out of here. I'm sure my leg's broke.
I don't trust you.
And I don't blame you. No, I've been a terrible man all my life. But you can see for yourself how I'm pinned down here.
Well, I can't move that rock. I'd better signal Roy and Pat. They can free you.
Sure, anything you say, little lady. Only won't you please see if you can't do something for the pain for this. It's so bad.
I shouldn't feel sorry for you, but... Well, I'll see what I can do.
If you could just maybe get my little shoe off. My foot's sticking out there. Ankle's swelling up. Something fierce.
Well, I'll try. Now.
Oh,
you only didn't have these laces knotted so tightly. I'll have to use both my hands.
Oh, please treat me gentle, little lady. Oh, I wish I'd faint so I could stand the pain better.
All right, Mr. Corky, I've got it. Goodbye, Louis.
You can't grab your guns, lady. When Big Louis got you, you stay put.
Oh, you bird.
Go ahead, keep me. I can't hardly feel it.
Hit the ropes around her, Louis. And move this confounded boulder away from my leg.
Sure, Mr. Corky. That stone don't hurt, does it?
No, but I sure can't move.
Listen, you may have tricked me again, Corky. But you didn't get away with it before, and you won't this time. Because as soon as Roy finds
out... As soon as Rogers finds us, I'll take care of him, too. I've always wanted to leave him sealed up in one of my caves, and this time I'm going to do it.
Hey, that fiddling. It's coming from the other side of this tunnel.
Right. And it'd be an awful lot quicker to go through the tunnel than to climb up over this rock formation.
Roy, look. Up there in the open at the other end, there's Nellie Bell.
Sure enough.
They must have driven her through the tunnel and parked her on the other side. Let's go get her.
Now, wait a minute, Pat. Nellie Bell's parked close to what looks like a pretty steep cliff. If we get through the tunnel and then find we can't get out, it'd
be... Whoa, why couldn't we get out? There's daylight. There's bound to be a clearing there.
I guess you're right. I hate to just walk into a place where Corky Lewis has led us, but as long as it's open on the other side, well, let's go through the tunnel. But let's go with our guns drawn. Come along, Bullet, but be quiet.
What was that, Roy?
Corky and his friends are up to their old tricks. They sealed off the opening we used to get into this tunnel. Hurry before they do the same thing at the other end.
Yeah, right, Roy. Only a couple more feet now.
There we are. We're in the open.
Oh, Nellie Bell, am I ever glad to see you. Are you all right, girl?
Wait a minute, Pat. We're not in the open. We're in an opening, but there are sure 25-foot walls on three sides of us.
Well, Rogers and Brady, I knew I could get you to come through that tunnel.
All right, Corky. Let's see if you dare show yourself up there.
Oh, sir, dare show myself. I ain't afraid of your guns.
Yeah, we got a direct beat on you, Corky. And with a sneak thief like you, maybe we wouldn't mind shooting.
No, I wouldn't care if you did. I've had my fun out of life.
But if my friend Louie here shuts, I'm afraid he'll get awful mad at the little lady.
What's that?
Roy, do you suppose they got Dale?
Of course we got Dale. You do just exactly as I say, or it'll go mighty hard with her.
What if I don't believe you, Corky?
Bring the little lady, Louie. Mm-hmm. Hold her up over the edge. If Roger's another guy trying anything funny, just toss her down so hard she'll bounce.
Back to Roy in just a minute. But right now, let's hear from Handy, Dandy, and Candy, the three Sugar Crisp Bears.
We're the Sugar Crisp Bears, and we want you to meet the grandest treat you ever did eat.
Post Sugar Crisp.
As a cereal, it's dandy. For snacks, it's so handy. Or eat it like candy. Post Sugar Crisp.
Yes, those three Sugar Crisp Bears are so right. Post Sugar Crisp is a honey of a new cereal. It's already sweetened, so you don't need sugar. Just add milk or cream. And Mother, Sugar Crisp is ideal for snacks when the youngsters are hungry between meals. Made of nourishing puffed wheat, coated with energy-rich honey and sugar. Or they can eat it just like candy right out of the box. Be sure to ask for genuine Post Sugar Crisp in the red, white, and blue package with the three bears on it.
What do we do, Roy? If we try to shoot, that big fella will throw Dale right down here with us.
I know that, Pat. We can't take a chance on using our guns.
You got up mighty early this morning, but you can't get up early enough to outsmart Corky Lewis. Not twice, that is.
I throw down whenever you say, Mr. Corky.
All right, Corky. What do you want us to do?
First of all, toss your guns down somewhere I can keep an eye on them. I don't trust you.
Yeah, we don't trust you either, but...
Never mind for now, Pat. Do as he says.
All right.
Well, I really don't want to harm the girl. Louie, you can take one last look at these two fellas if you like.
Mm.
And I want you to start filling up this hole with boulders.
What? Roy, he's going to start throwing boulders down here at us. And if we go back in the tunnel to keep from getting hit, it won't be no time at all until he's got this entrance plugged up, too.
Well, there may be one way out, Pat.
What is it?
Keep an eye on me. I'm going to make a fast move, and when I do, grab a gun and cover Corky.
Hey, Rogers, what you doing with that rope?
Well, now, take it easy, Corky. I'm not going to risk having my dog hit by one of these boulders. I want him in the tunnel.
All right, tie the confounded dog and take him in the tunnel. Happy smothering to all three of you.
You don't have to lasso Bullet, Roy. He'll come when you call him.
I'm not going to throw the rope on Bullet. I'm going to throw it up around
me. Ah! Dale! Hey, Roy, you did it! You got the big lug right in the noose!
Grab a gun, Pat. Fast. I'm going up.
Rogers, let's go of that rope! Let Louie loose her up!
Ah, you'll do nothing, Corky. I can shoot darn near as good as Roy.
Mr. Corky! He's pulling himself right up the rocks with his rope!
Throw the girl down, Louie!
I can't! I'm roped to her!
I'm coming up, Dale. Be there in a sec.
Keep those hands up, Corky.
Louie, jump down there yourself.
Oh, no, 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 Mr. Corky. Not even for you. I get her.
There now, Dale. We'll get that gag out of your mouth and get you out of this.
I'll work my arms loose, Rogers.
It's a good thing you're as big as you are, Louie. I couldn't have pulled myself up here in a smaller man. There, Dale. Wiggle out and help Pat cover Corky.
You bet I will, Roy. He's the meanest little weasel.
This time I punch you inside out.
All right, try it.
I'm still going to go for that.
Roy, be careful. If you go over the edge.
Drive him back, Roy. You're too close.
I'll drive him back. If I ever get hold of you, Rogers, I throw you down there like
you'll never get a hold of me. You're too slow.
Get in there and fight, Louie. He can't hurt us.
His guard's down, Roy. If you can only reach his jaw.
I can make it again, Dale. I think. There. Corky, the time you and Louie spent in jail must have softened him up. I think he was tougher the last time.
No. Look, Rogers, you and me ought to talk a little business. I'd still like a man like you on my staff.
It's the same answer, Corky. And if you don't quit saying that, I'm liable to forget myself and throw one more punch.
No, all right. I didn't see any harm in asking.
Roy, how are me and Nellie Bell and Bullet going to get out of here?
Louie will wake up pretty soon, Pat.
and we'll let him work some more.
Yeah, we'll make him move the boulders away from the entrance to the tunnel. Then you can drive out.
Well, the only thing is, I just looked in the gas tank, and it's empty.
Never mind that, Pat. First, we'll make Corky show us where he hid the guns he stole last night. Then we'll hitch Louie to Nellie Bell, cover him with all the artillery, and he can pull you back to Mineral City. It'll be a nice change from the rock pile he and Corky are going to be working on. Happy New Year, Corky.
Happy New Year.
That's all for now, folks. This is Roy Rogers saying to all of you from all of us, goodbye, good luck, and may the good Lord take a liking to you. See you next week.
The Roy Rogers Show was brought to you tonight by Post Sugar Crisp, the cereal treat that's fun to eat. Fellas and girls, remember Roy's good advice and ask Mom to bring home Post Sugar Crisp in the red, white, and blue package with the three bears on the front. You'll love Post Sugar Crisp. Come and get it! Come and get it! For quick 2-minute energy for work and play, how about Grape Nuts Flakes?
How about them? How about them? How about those Grape Nuts?
How about those Grape Nuts?
How about them? How about them?
How about those Grape Nuts Flakes? They are so good, good for you too. The 2-minute energy works for you. So how about them? How about them? How about Grape Nuts Flakes?
Grape Nuts Flakes is one of the triple-wrapped Post cereals. Guaranteed fresh or triple your money back. Look for Grape Nuts Flakes, the great 2-minute energy cereal, in the package with Roy Rogers and Trigger on the front. Featured in tonight's cast were Frank Hemingway, Jack Moyles, and Ben Weldon. This is Art Ballinger speaking for Post Sugar Crisp. Stay tuned for the latest news brought to you by Log Cabin Syrup.
Next, on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Noon Book Hour, followed by the Coronavirus Update at 1.
Happy New Year!
Thursday night on New Year's Eve, Recording Library of West Texas Radio is bringing you two very special shows. It begins at 7 p.m. with Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve 1982. It'll feature Dick Clark from Times Square in New York and co-hosts Tom Wopat from the Dukes of Hazzard and Charlene Tilton from Dallas with The Party in Hollywood. You'll hear artists Barry Manilow, Rick James, Rick Springfield, The Four Tops, and Alabama. Then at approximately 8:08 p.m., it's Mr. New Year's Eve himself, Guy Lombardo, with his 1957 New Year's broadcast direct from the world-famous Grill Room at the Hotel Roosevelt in New York City, featuring his Royal Canadians. They'll be playing top hits from the 1930s like The Music Goes Round and Round, from the 1940s such as Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree, and the 1950s like The Tennessee Waltz. And just before the new year of 1958 arrives, the network will switch over to Times Square with reporting from CBS newsman Bob Trout. Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve 1982 and Guy Lombardo's 1957 New Year's Eve Party, starting Thursday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Happy New
look at the way that we live.
wasting our time on cheap talk and wine. Left us so little to give. That same old crowd was like a cold dark cloud that we could never rise above. But here in my heart, I give you the best of my love. Oh, sweet darling, you get the best of my love. You get the best of my love. Oh, sweet darling, you get the best of my love. You get the best of my love. It was a quiet night, and I would be alright if I could call on sleeping. But every morning I wake up and worry, what's gonna happen today? You see it your way, I see it mine, but we both see it slipping away. Had each other, baby. I guess that wasn't enough. Oh, oh, but here in my heart, I give you the best of my love. Oh, 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 sweet darling, you get the best of my.
This week on Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday night movie, Jurassic Park.
I own an island off the coast of Costa Rica, and I've spent the last 5 years setting up a kind of biological preserve.
What kind of park is it?
We've made living biological attractions so astounding that they'll capture the imagination of the entire planet.
It's a dinosaur.
The park will open with the basic tour you're about to take.
Don't you see the danger, chilling inherent in what you're doing here? Genetic power is the most awesome force the planet's ever seen. You wield it like a kid that's found his dad's gun.
These are aggressive living things that have no idea what century they're in, and they'll defend themselves violently if necessary.
Hey, what'd I touch? You didn't touch anything, you stopped.
Anybody hear that? It's a, it's an impact room is what it is.
I can't get Jurassic Park back online.
Yeah, that's nice. Gotta go.
Come on. We gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here.
The only thing that matters now are the people we love.
Which is just a delay. That's all it is. All major theme parks have delays.
But John, if the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists.
Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, and Richard Attenborough star in the audio-described Jurassic Park. Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 33 with snow showers. Tonight, snow showers with a low in the mid-30s. Then, tomorrow, a few snow showers with a high in the mid-30s. Tomorrow night, snow showers with a low in the low 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 12 noon.
It's time for the Noon Book Hour. Readings of books from all genres, handpicked by staff at the Recording Library of West Texas.
The Clock Strikes 12. Written by Patricia Wentworth. Performed by Diana Bishop.
Chapter 13. Phyllida woke in the dark to a knock on the door and murmured a sleepy mechanical, "Come in." The door opened and shut. The ceiling light snapped on, and there, coming towards her, was Elliot, hastily dressed, his fair hair rumpled, his face drawn and grim. At the very first sight of him, all her new happiness was gone. A dreadful conviction of disaster caught at her heart. It didn't even seem strange for him to be there. She was out of bed in a flash, her hair about her shoulders.
"Oh, what is it, Elliot? What is it?"
"Bad news, I'm afraid."